So those are the Shomrei Shviyas in Eretz Yisrael. And as the message has been, clearly we have an opportunity to be part of the special Mesiras Nefesh that they display in taking the year off from their work and supporting their remarkable Mesiras Nefesh, which is for all of Klal Yisrael. But aside from that, aside from how we can participate in the mitzvah of Shviyas through supporting the farmers in Eretz Yisrael who are Shomrei Shviyas, the halachas that apply during this seventh year are things that we need to familiarize ourselves with as well. Because there is produce which is coming to us even here in America, and we need to know how to deal with that produce. And tonight we're very fortunate to have with us the Executive Rabbinical Coordinator and the Chief Operating Officer of the OU's Kashrus Division, somebody who I've had the schlus to work with on a number of matters over the last few years, a very, very special person, and it's our privilege to hear from Rabbi Moshe Elephant at this time. Rabbi Elephant.
Kutvach, Derek Rav Chaim David. Actually, the pleasure has been all mine to have this chus to work with a person such as yourself, who's so devoted to the cloud, to the tzibur, and it's truly inspiring to all of us that are trying. We've heard so much about Shemitah tonight, and I just wanted to add, those of us who are learning the Daf Yomi recently learned a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that the gematria of the word Hasatan is 364. And the Gemara says, because there are 364 days during the year that the Satan has power, there's one day during the year that the Satan doesn't. And that's Yom Kippur. The year is 365 days long. 364 days the Satan can prevail, not on Yom Kippur. Says the Chassam Sofer, if we take the gematria of the word Shemitah, he says the gematria of the word Shemitah is also 364. What is the gematria teaching us? There is a year that all 364 days that are not Yom Kippur could be equal to Yom Kippur. And that's the Shemitah year. It's a whole year of Yom Kippur. It's a whole year of Yom HaKadosh. Why? The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Rav of all time, the Gemara says regarding him, the Tachsreinu Me'at Melekim. We all know there are 50 Shari Bina, 50 gates of Chochma, of knowledge. Moshe Rabbeinu with the Chasreinu Me'at Melekim, he only reached 49, not 50. Says the Ramban, it's not because Moshe Rabbeinu could never achieve that 50th gate. He certainly could have. But no one can live in this world, says the Ramban, if he achieved already those 50 gates. And Moshe Rabbeinu had what to do in this world. So he had to only have 49. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, what is that 50th gate? That 50th gate is the gate of pure Yediyas Hashem. Pure knowledge. No question that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Shemitah is the year that those who follow us, who've seen and heard tonight, the mitzvah of Shemitah, see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, are given the opportunity to feel a Kadosh Baruch Hu every minute of the day. And therefore, it prevails and influences their lives. And that's why perhaps we read today Parashas Mishpatim, which primarily discusses the issues ben Adam u'chaveroi, chosh mishpat, laws that affect how we interact wrong with each other. And in Parashas Mishpatim, there's the parasha of the din of Shemitah. To teach us that Shemitah and the lesson of Shemitah is the way we should live our lives. A person who lives his life with Yediyas Hashem, then knowing that everything is fire control, doesn't have a problem not working for a year. Doesn't have a problem leaving his field fallow. It's all up to the corporate anyway. And that's the person that's going to act honestly in his business, and that's the person that's going to act honestly and fairly with the people that he interacts with, whether it's his employee, employer, or just his neighbor. So Shemitah is such a great mitzvah, such a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Most of us, even those that live in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly those that live in Chutz Laaretz, are not farmers. So how do we get the opportunity to relate to this mitzvah? And how do we get the opportunity to enjoy the benefit that this mitzvah brings us? Perhaps one way is by supporting the Karen of Sheaves. But I think the other way is by becoming familiar with the halacha of Shemitah. Familiarity with the halachas, familiarity not just with the halachas, but with the facts, will raise our awareness about this important mitzvah and will give us the opportunity to follow the mitzvah so that we too can reap its wonderful, wonderful benefits. As I was preparing for tonight's talk, there's really two ways to approach it. One is, as Rabbi Feuer mentioned, the world has become a very small place, and there's Baruch Hashem a lot of travel from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. Many of us have children, many of us go to a vacation for other important purposes to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's important for us as people who visit Eretz Yisrael to be familiar with what is happening in Eretz Yisrael, not just with the farmer who's going to have to leave his field empty or not work on his field this year, but to the person who's going to be staying in a hotel or be going to visiting restaurants or family in Eretz Yisrael. And then, of course, how it relates to us here at Chutz Laaretz as consumers of food items. So to speak briefly about people traveling to Eretz Yisrael, a few basic facts. As Rabbi Aaron Leibstein, the Great Rosh Yeshiva, just said, and as the minute by most Orthodox Jews, we do not rely on the Het Mechira. That the Mechira, just to explain it briefly, is they land in Eretz Yisrael, the entire country. I've had, I don't know if I use the word privilege, but I've met the Arab who buys the entire country. He happens to be the man to be in the Renaissance Hotel. He buys the entire country before every year, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and that is what the Het Mechira is about. Many years ago, when the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael was re-establishing itself, there was an extremely small population, extremely poor population. There were rabbanim that suggested to rely on a Het Mechira of selling the entire country. It's a heter that was, as the name implies, as we heard, is some sort of a trick. And certainly even the Gedolei Yisrael, who said that that heter should be could be relied on, said it should be relied on reluctantly with the Evet. And as Baruch Hashem, the situation at Yisrael has changed, it becomes less and less something that Frumi, the Neitaira, and anyone who cares for the mitzvah of Shemitah has tried to avoid. This is not the forum to discuss the halakhic difficulties which rely on Het Mechira. Suffice it to say that if I were going to sell my home, I'm not a lawyer, Rabbi Zimbel could speak to this better than I can, if I was going to sell my home and just writing a piece of paper that my home is now sold to you without going through the legal requirements or having it properly registered, would be highly unlikely that anybody would consider that a valid sale. But there are other heter, not really heter, what are accepted methods in the Shemitah year. The two most popular minhagim are known as Minig Yerushalayim versus Minig Bnei Brak. It has nothing to do with Yerushalayim. Dor doesn't have anything to do with Bnei Brak. It really goes back to Machlokes Rishonim that Rabbi Shulman referred to earlier, a Machlokes of the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. The Beis Yosef says that lands in Eretz Yisrael that are not owned by Jews, that are owned by non-Jews, that truly owned by non-Jews, are not subject to Hilchos Shemitah. This is the minhag of the Beis Yosef. It's the minhag that has been traditionally accepted in Yerushalayim, including by the Bedatz of the Eidah Reis of Yerushalayim. It is also the minhag that we at the OU follow in the facilities that we certify in Eretz Yisrael. The other minhag is the minhag of the Mabit and his son, the Marit, which was the minhag that the Chazon Ish followed. He felt that Eretz Yisrael, all of the land of Eretz Yisrael, is inherently subject to the halachas of Shemitah, even if it's owned by non-Jews, and therefore Arab-owned fields are too subject to Hilchos Shemitah, and therefore that means that it doesn't work. Even those that follow the minhag of Yerushalayim, the minhag of relying on fields owned by non-Jews, are faced now with a greater challenge than ever. Because of the precarious security situation in Eretz Yisrael, these non-Jewish lands are typically on the West Bank. There used to be a lot in Gaza, where, of course, sending a mashgiach to watch that the fruit and vegetables, produce that is coming, is truly from the land that's owned by the Arab, by the non-Jew. And that, as has been discovered countless times, the trucks of Shemitah product came from Eretz Yisrael, from Jewish old lands, was deposited on non-Jewish land, and then was tried to be sold off as non-Jewish produce. So it requires hazdaka, requires mashgichim. Of course, we can't send mashgichim into places where it's a pikuach nefesh. Gaza is out of the question. There is no produce coming from Gaza into Eretz Yisrael because it's impossible to send a mashgiach. Other areas which are too not as safe, there are mashgichim. On my most recent trip to Eretz Yisrael, I had the opportunity to spend a whole afternoon at the Eidah Reis, who employs 300 employees special just for the year of Shemitah. And many of them act as mashgichim, who are at the border crossings as these fruits and vegetables come in from the Palestinian Authority areas to Eretz Yisrael. There are videos attached with GPS systems on the back of the Arab, and they are able to see exactly from where the fruit and vegetable is coming, and that's how they keep track that it's truly from those fields, not from any non-certified field. All of this comes with tremendous complication, and also has limited, even for those that are following the minhag of Yerushalayim, the ability to have fruits and vegetables at an abundance and at a fair price. That fruit and vegetables as it comes into Yerushalayim, if any of you will come to Yerushalayim, as you enter Yerushalayim to give out Shaul, there's a very large fruit market. Every wholesaler at that fruit market has a mashgiach, making sure that the fruit that's being brought in is truly the fruit that's certified. It's interesting to note, and I've seen and I've heard about this mistake from many individuals. You know, when you're traveling at the road, you're traveling on the roads, people many times travel from Yerushalayim to Yam HaMelech, people travel to the Galil, and on the road many times you'll see an Arab with a stall selling different fruits and vegetables, and people tell me, certainly you're allowed to buy that fruit and vegetables. Ladies and gentlemen, the Arabs have learned the trick, and the Arabs are coming to the common, and you could safely assume that those fruits and vegetables are produce of Shemitah and should be avoided unless you can really be sure, and I don't know how you can be sure, that they are truly coming from an Arab from his own field. So because we have this challenge, as we said, that there are people who are not relying on non-Jewish owned property and Israel, coupled with the difficulty of obtaining those foods because of the security situation. Many people have begun to rely on what is known as the Oitzer Bezdin approach. The Oitzer Bezdin approach is a very interesting approach that there is a heter already brought down in the Tosefta, the Rambam quotes the Tosefta, where if the Bezdin assumes ownership of the fruit that grows, they may pay whoever takes care of the warehousing and gathering that fruit. It doesn't allow what is known as real melacha to make the land better during the Shemitah year, but it does allow fruits and vegetables to become more available and be sold only at the cost the Bezdin had to gather those fruits and vegetables. But there's a very fundamental difference that becomes very relevant to both those of us who are visiting Israel and those of us in America. And that is, fruits and vegetables that are relying on the Oitzer Bezdin approach have kedusha shvi'is. They're shvi'is produce, unlike non-shita product. And there are very fundamental halachos regarding produce that have kedusha shvi'is. Firstly, and most importantly, they may not be wasted. And therefore, if you get a portion made with Oitzer Bezdin product, and you're not interested in finishing the portion, you can't throw it out. And that's why when you visit a hotel or a restaurant in Eretz Yisrael, you will rarely find that they're relying on Oitzer Bezdin product. Because you can't have an idiot walking around like your mother used to do, from table to table, making sure you finish everything you ate. So you have, they won't rely on Oitzer Bezdin. People in their homes, and you've maybe visited people's homes, are relying on Oitzer Bezdin. And it may not be comfortable for them to tell you, we can't waste this food and this produce, but you should be aware of it and act accordingly. Moreover, and this is a very, very important point, in Eretz Yisrael, there are a lot of grapes. Eretz Yisrael, those of you who are familiar a little with the wine industry, has become, over the last couple of years, a very important area of growing of grapes and making high quality wines. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that we should be able to keep all of Eretz Yisrael, particularly the grapes of the Golan have become world famous for their quality and for the excellent wines they produce. Specifically in this year's Shemitah, it was very difficult. Those of you that are familiar with when grapes ripen, they typically ripen in the fall, August, September, October. A lot of factors involved. It depends on what kind of winter we had, it depends what kind of summer we had, it depends how early the young pipe come out. And this year, for different reasons in Eretz Yisrael, the grapes were really not ready for Rosh Hashanah. And that's why many of the grapes were cut only after Rosh Hashanah, and therefore have a din of Erev Shvi'is. And therefore, in this year of Eretz Yisrael, there is a lot of wine that is produced through the method of Oitzer Bezdin. Again, time does not really allow me to go into how we are able to control, to know where the grapes are coming. It's a fascinating tour. If any of you are very Eretz Yisrael and you want to visit Zichron Yaakov, Carmel has a very large facility, and it's incredible to watch how they have videos, and they have every tree, they have exact cheshbon, where the tree is coming from, and where the tree was started to give grapes. There's an issue of aroma in grapes, a separate issue. And because of that, a lot of the wine produced in Eretz Yisrael is Oitzer Bezdin wine. In fact, most of these Israeli brand wines that you will see available with reliable hashgachas in the coming years are really not made from grapes in Eretz Yisrael. And the wine itself might not have been made in Eretz Yisrael. The wine itself might have been made in Europe, particularly in Italy, and it's just labeled with that brand name. But if you're in Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot of wine that's available that's Oitzer Bezdin wine, and you may be there and be interested in enjoying a bottle of wine and bringing it home. You're not allowed to. That's Oitzer Bezdin. Fruits and products that have kedusha shvi'is may not be brought to Chutz Laaretz. The only fruit that the Pesukim discuss, a heter, are Ephraim, where there is a heter perhaps to bring him to Chutz Laaretz. There are chuvas from Rav Moshe on that subject, that I guess will be the subject of a separate talk. But particularly, people who are buying bottles of wine at the stroll have to be extremely careful that if it's an ice best bottle of wine, leave it in a Kisrael, don't bring it home. And we go further in discussing that Kisrael, just quickly to mention some of the other atayim that are being used. One is what is known as cat houses. Actually, Israel leads the world in this technology where produce is grown in hat houses. Again, not a simple device, because it really has to be a hat house where the fruit and produce are not growing from the ground. And the place can discuss at great length that there has to be a plastic or a serious separation between the fruit and produce growing and the ground. They speak about how much of separation and what kind of a material should be used. They also speak about covering of that house or greenhouse where it's grown. This is not time for that detail, but again, it's not something that can be relied on without a reliable heter. And the one other heter which is used is that the area known as the Arava, or the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, near Eilat, where there are questions if that is included in the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Again, many places will not rely on that heter itself. They're relying on a combination with some sort of a hat house. Again, these are the typical heterim used in Eretz Yisrael. It's very important to mention, as I leave speaking about the person who's in Eretz Yisrael, particularly we who don't live in a world of Shemitah and aren't inculcated or being concerned about it, when we travel to Israel, can easily forget that it's a Shemitah year. I just was speaking to someone who came home from Eretz Yisrael from a trip a couple of days ago, and he tells me he was very careful in Eretz Yisrael. And then we were talking, and I asked him, when you came home on the plane, did they serve fresh fruits and vegetables? He says, yeah. So, well, those fresh fruits and vegetables, how do you know they're not Shemitah produce? And we take it for granted. You know, an apple is one of the items that Baruch Hashem still doesn't eat out of. But it does need out of if you're traveling in a plane from Eretz Yisrael. And the same is for fruit, other fruits and vegetables. Regarding us in Chutz Laaretz and the fruits and vegetables and produce that arrive here, it's important, and I'm certainly not an economist, but it's important to understand the nature of the agricultural community in Eretz Yisrael. As I said earlier, when the Yishuv was re-established in Eretz Yisrael 60, 70, 80 years ago, it was a primarily agricultural community. Eretz Yisrael has moved away from that type of industry. They realize that the real estate in Eretz Yisrael is more valuable to build hotels and factories and high-rise buildings than to build on them farms for oranges and apples and potatoes. But there is still, as we saw in the video, quite a sizable agricultural industry in Eretz Yisrael. And in understanding the community, the agricultural community in Eretz Yisrael, it should be divided into two groups. Obviously, like in any country, they need their own fruits and vegetables, like all of us need fruits and vegetables as part of our basic diet. Those fruits and vegetables also grow in Eretz Yisrael, but are primarily kept in Eretz Yisrael. The apples and the pears are not being exported to Chutz Laaretz. There's really not enough value in those fruits and vegetables to send them to Chutz Laaretz. However, there is a lot of value in sending the higher end produce to Chutz Laaretz. And when I speak about higher end produce, I speak about fruits and vegetables like avocados and pomegranates and persimmons and cherry tomatoes and the better quality peppers and the herbs. Now, we in America actually are not really that affected by that export. for a number of reasons. Number one, because America, being a very large and blessed country, really has enough of these produce itself and really doesn't import a lot of it. Secondly, because Eretz Yisrael is so much closer to Europe and the Far East, many of these products that are being exported are being exported to Europe and the Far East rather than to the United States. So halacha lemaaseh, when you go to a store to buy fruits and vegetables, if you buy your typical fruits and vegetables, you don't have to really be concerned. What I recommend to people is that they should look on the label if it says product of Agrexo or Carmel. Those are the names of the companies who are the exporters of produce from Israel. Just because it says Agrexo or Carmel doesn't mean it's Israeli product, because many times Agrexo or Carmel are exporting products that are not from Israel and they'll say product of Chile or product of Argentina. But if it doesn't say that, you should assume that it's Israeli product. Moreover, if you're going to a fruit store to buy these products, again the products that I mentioned, it's worthwhile, if you can, to ask the shopkeeper where you got them from. Because the halacha is that anytime you have a suffix, anytime you have a question, if it's extra or Blu-ray, if you can easily check it out, that's the right thing to do. What you don't have to do, for example, however, Israel also has a flour exporting business. I mean flour, F-L-O-U-R, F-L-O-W-E-R, flours. And I was asking Rabelsky, one of the presidents from the OU, if in Barbach, because the flour is the same, on Friday afternoon on the corner, there are people selling flours. Do you have to be concerned that those flowers are from Israel? And you have to ask them. They certainly don't know where they got the flowers from. Again, because as I said earlier, the chances of these pink flowers coming from Israel are very remote. We don't have to be concerned. But from where I sit in my day job, it's a real concern. Because we certify not only foods prepared in the United States, but we certify foods prepared around the entire world. 80 countries besides the United States. And as I said a moment ago, Israel is exporting a lot of agricultural product to Europe, to the Far East, to China. And when we certify these products, there's a real concern. There's a real concern when we certify herbs that are used for spices. There was a concern about a ketchup that was using spices, if the herbs and spices used in those ketchup are from Israel. Tomato paste may be very commonly made in Europe and then sent to the United States, and there's a concern about those tomato paste. Actually, if any of you travel to Europe, there's a real concern. I myself saw it in a factory in Poland. A lot of the oranges in Europe are coming from Israel, and buying oranges in Europe during the Shemitah year may be a real shaila. So when you buy product that you know is manufactured overseas, and you may assume that this product is a product that doesn't really need hashgacha because it's really just fruits or vegetables, in the Shemitah year and the year after the Shemitah year, it becomes a much greater concern, because there's a greater possibility that the fruits and vegetables are coming from Israel. Not only is there a great possibility because of the factor that these fruits and vegetables are always more likely to be imported to Europe and Israel, but we're somewhat the subject of our success. And what I mean to say is, because so many factories in the United States have hashgacha and have mashgichim from different hashgachas making sure that no product is coming in from Eretz Yisrael, so the Israeli companies that may have American customers are diverting that product. They're still making the product, if they're relying on the hetmachira or whatever. And what they're doing is they're more likely to send it to Europe and the Far East. But because the world has become so small, it's also very possible that that product can end up in the United States. And the need for vigilance And I particularly stress in spices and herbs is very, very great. Rabbi Zuvel, in his introductory remarks, spoke about the Gebaya Kayak, the farmers of Shiv. And he spoke about the Rashi, Kayak Masov, Higad La'amoy, Lost Lahem, Nachlas Goyim. What is the Kayak of Klal Yisrael? The Kayak of Klal Yisrael is to recognize that everything in this world, Eretz Yisrael, everything we have, is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kayach Masov Egid La'amon, by telling us, the Torah begins by telling us, Kili Kolaris, the entire world is Hashem's, and he gave Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. The farmers, and by extension us, who follow the halacha of Shemitah, are the Gibayre Kayach, testify to that Kayach Masov Egid La'amon. And those that refuse to accept the Shemitah, we know that the Gemara says that the Klal Yisrael went into Golus the exact same amount of years that they did not properly fulfill the mitzvah of Shemitah. May Kadosh Baruch Hu help that we who join together with these Yibayar Kayach, we who together proclaim Kayach Masa Tigat Ba'amoy, should reverse the Golus till we come to the time of the Gula. The question was, and it's a very fair question, is Israeli produce, even the non-Jewish, there's an issue of Trumas and Isis. I'll answer the question with a story that's happened to me many, many times. When we give our drugs to a company, every company we give our drugs to has a list of ingredients that they're allowed to use, every ingredient in the factory. There's some ingredients that are considered innocuous, you know, an apple, an orange, a pear, tomato. And when we give that list and we tell the company, you can buy tomatoes whatever you want, we say, except for me. And I can't tell you how many times companies have called me and said, I don't think you're a Jewish organization, you're boycotting Israel. And we explain to them, they're not boycotting Israel, but most of them know about tithes, and it's a very serious issue, Trumas and Isis. The Trumas and Isis, if you buy, there are ways that you can take Trumas and Isis and cook for it also. Shemitah, you can't take it, it can't be resolved. Yes, there are, but it's something that there's a lot of literature how to do, it's not that difficult.
If you buy, okay,
you can't
buy coconut juice or shmitz,
it has fruit in the juice. No, that money is not coconut juice because the money is only used to cover costs. It's only used to cover costs that the peasant has in getting the fruit or the vegetable from the field to the store. No. No, it's not from the sheep. What?
Explain
Eitz HaBezdin. Eitz HaBezdin, what it means is that the Bezdin is turned into a warehouse, as the word Eitz implies. And Bezdin is collecting the fruits and the vegetables that you're allowed to do in the sheep year. Just how often is that each one of us could go logically, you could go into a field in the sheep year. In Israel, even if it's owned by someone else, you just pick up fruits and eat. You pick up vegetables. Right. But you're not going to do that.
Why?
You can do it if you want, but if you live in Rishon, you're not going to Mavo Beis Karon. So the Beis Din...
You have to go every day.
You have to go every day. So the Beis Din collects the fruits, pays people for that collection process, and delivers it. And all they're taking is the cost, if it's done properly.
Why is it so just not all of it?
What?
The
tzad not to hold it. I'm not saying the tzad not to hold it. The tzad not to hold it is, first of all, you have a problem with kibush hashiyus, which not everybody knows how to treat the produce with the proper kibush hashiyus. And there are those that say, that, again, I'm not going to pass in here, it's only mentioned in one Tosefta. It's not really commonly quoted as a heter. It's more of a more modern invention in halacha. That's why people are questioning. It's not really brought down in the early Chuvah law.
The field has to sell
it to Bezdin? No, he doesn't sell the field to Bezdin. He only sells the rights of warehousing, not the field.
Just listen over.
Can you talk about how
you act with parents
of that Kedusha Shvius
now?
Well, Kedusha Shvius parents may not be sold. In other words, if you have Kedusha Shvius parents, you may not be sold. Kedusha Shvius may not be taken, fruits and vegetables may not be taken to Chutz Lawrence. Right. Even the peels of the orange, correct, have to be properly disposed. A lake at Tiff and Gusta Tiff now are right to Bezdin.
So in other words, when you buy those herbs, you have to treat them as right to Bezdin?
Well, now the a lake at Tiff and Gusta Tiff that's coming to Chutz Lawrence is coming from Arab owned fields.
Oh, so you don't have to treat them.
You don't have to treat them. They're not, no, nobody bringing Eitz HaBezdin product besides the Shroyden to Chutz Lawrence. What? In America, yes. I don't think it's a problem. We have not discovered it was a problem. And again, the Paisim have told me also, in preparation for tonight, discussed this with a number of Rabbonim, particularly if it's a product that comes in very small numbers to Chutz Lawrence, you have a number, Shvius is not as that as a Rabbonim. So it's a Sufik Rabbonim. And if it's difficult to be Mavara, you certainly provide Sufik Rabbonim with Kula. So that's what the price of the you could provide.
I'm sorry, I apologize. We were told that we have to conclude the session now. I'm sure that Rabbi Elchin, who Baruch Hashem, delivered, I think, a very comprehensive and clear presentation of the basic halachas that we need to understand during the Shvius year, but if people have additional questions.